dinosaur pile up. Always on the back foot. I'm always gonna be a man that I should get my together for it while I can. Like hell, they're the mama, you don't understand. Cause I'm gonna be super famous and rocking in a band. Yeah, you know, couple years later. Ladies and gentlemen, his name is Ben Lieber. He joins Tommy Olsen in the main studio on the Power Trip Morning Show on Thursday, January 27th. Oh, hi, good morning, Ben.
Well, good morning, guys.
Oh, hi, Ben.
Oh, hi.
Ben, what's your middle name?
Fortnite.
B-L-L.
What is it? What did he say it was?
Lewis.
Yeah. Which is Corey's middle name as well.
True. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
What's yours?
And I believe we spelled the same
way. L-O-U-I-S.
Yeah.
What's Rosie's middle name, Hawk?
Beaver.
Hawksy, isn't yours Anthony?
No, it's Alan.
Alan.
Yeah. Mine's Jeffrey.
Nobody asked
me. I think it's cool.
You are correct. Nobody did ask me. Nobody did ask me.
Hawksy, I always thought it was cool that your initials is Ka and then you're Hawky. You call like
right, like a hawk. Yeah.
And you do edibles?
That's right.
Are you and Zach hanging out or what?
Good question.
Yeah, good question. Good question.
Why do you ask? Dapamensa.
Why do you ask middle name?
I was just wondering.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's called Benny last week. I just want to make a good nickname for him.
He's in the process of committing identity fraud. Yeah. He just wants to lay the ground.
One question a week.
Yeah, just give us the last four digits of your social, and that's all we need.
Right? I have the easiest social security number of
nobody
all time.
Nobody asked you. Again, I know. I'm just like talking. There are people talking, and you're not involved.
No, I know, 100%, but I can't help myself from talking.
So I think I've told this before on these very airwaves, that I was told early in my career, this is not intended to be a humble brag, but this is going to come off like that. I was told that I wasn't getting enough love from the football world because of the way I was playing, because of my name.
I agree.
They said your name was boring.
So really? A Sebastian Thunderbucket kind of a situation.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. So
Johnson's just too boring of a name.
There was a time that I was going to tell the PR people to start to just change my name to Lewis Lieber. Because I just thought
that's a great name.
I just thought it'd be
call you Sweet Lou.
Yeah. I just thought it'd be a stronger name, and it wouldn't get lost.
What about
I was
Ben
told
Lewis?
That it sounds like I was a science teacher playing linebacker.
Dude, you know what, dude? You're right. Lewis Lieber would have.
Lewis Lieber sounds
multiple
badass.
Pro Bowls.
Sounds like a French artist.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
So anyway.
Lewis Lieber would have won the game in 09.
LL.
Yeah, he would have.
Yeah, he would have.
But,
yeah,
and he but looked Ben great fudged it up.
Wait, is it like spelled like Lewis and Clark, or is it?
No. L-O-U-I.
Is that
like now, Lewis Gossett Jr.?
Is that your dad's name?
What?
No, there is a Lewis Lieber in my history.
Was he cool?
Yeah, did he smoke?
Did he party?
He was a badass.
Did he do coke?
Of course he was. He liked big knockers.
Why does it matter if you did cocaine?
I don't know. Back then, everybody was.
So mushrooms?
My middle name is Lewis, named after my dad.
Exactly.
My sister's middle name is Courtney Louise, which is like the female version of my dad. Aww. So really what I'm saying is my dad is an egomaniac.
Yeah.
My middle name is my dad's first name.
He needs to be stopped.
Dov doesn't like have George a middle Foreman. Name because they don't care about Dov.
What?
Just Dov.
No way.
That's more than enough.
Charles. Oh, okay.
Oh, DC?
Yeah, DC.
Oh, yeah, he's on DC.
So you're PJ Lambert and he's DC Lambert.
Wow, yeah. You guys are swag.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, you're something else.
You guys don't you guys have the same birthdays as the two princes from England?
Not exactly.
But
so,
opposite.
Yeah, but opposite. Yeah.
I just said two princes and you didn't say great point.
I faded out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, great point. That's on Will. I'm talking too much, so I'll be quiet. Dog. This is when Randy puts on the weed hat because he hates people who vape, and he puts his hat on and just beats the bejesus out of people.
It's the best.
Yeah, and it just starts all the time.
I know.
Yeah. Every time he puts the beanie on.
A what?
I love it. Man, it's a weird show today, Ben. But we're excited because we got our guy, you know, and I have lots of things to talk to you about when it comes to...
Quasi-Dapamensa.
See, now I'm confused because I was sent the,
I know,
the
we
phonetic
all were, buddy.
Pronunciation as well.
I know.
That's what Corey said.
Yeah, it's wrong.
But you know
based
what?
Based on the guy's his own name.
Yeah, but are we taking consideration maybe he was just nervous and just like speaking too fast and wasn't...
He slurred his own name?
I'll ask him. I want him. I'm going to have him call.
Have you never done that before?
Mr. Duffy Mensa.
Ask Zach his full name. Hero, he hammers that.
He has no idea what it is at this point. He's chasing pink elephants around.
Where is Zach? Is Zach back there?
I'm here.
Zach, how do you say the new general manager's name?
Kawhi Leonard.
Right, stop, please.
That's my bit.
You know what?
No, Kawhi Duffy Mensa.
Try it for real. Go.
Say, play it one more time.
No. Just you've been listening to the show for an hour and a half.
How does it go?
Kawhi Duffy Mensa.
Okay, Kawhi.
Okay. Zach, you should start selling drugs.
You really might want to stop eating pieces of chocolate in the morning. Honestly,
Kawhi,
I love you, Zach.
No, he's of Nigerian descent, right?
I don't know. I haven't looked at his background.
I think that's what I heard. I think Casey's a real strong family name in Nigeria.
Man,
he's named after the general store.
Can I do my great points right now?
Yeah, sorry, Daddy.
No, it's okay. I'm so excited, and I've been saving it because one of the things I always do wrong is I blow all my good points in the very first segment of the show. You know what I mean?
For them.
Yeah, exactly. But then the rest of the show, I got nothing. Because I normally have about one good point. Here's my good point.
All your points are great, babe.
Okay. Because, driving back and forth from St. Cloud all week, Corey, I've been listening to multiple podcasts. And I listen to a lot of things
about... What, are you doing voiceover work? What are you doing in St. Cloud? You doing some singing?
I have a lot of singing.
A lot of singing.
Yeah. So I was listening to different podcasts and different interviews with Kawhi Duffy Mensa. From even when back when he was in Cleveland. Here's my my theory, Ben Lieber. Okay, he is a numbers guy, right? Mm-hmm. An analytics guy. Now, from all the things, all the different, and I don't even remember which one that I got. But on one of the podcasts I listened to, there are four people that work for the Vikings in the analytics department. That is a department for the Minnesota Vikings, the analytics department. Now, when I hear analytics, Tommy Olsen, I think they're talking about drafting the right guy or maybe even putting in a play or blah, blah, blah. But also part of the analytics department is saying this running back, if he has a strained oblique, is probably going to be out 4 weeks if we don't let him rest for a while. So we need to let him rest. Or this tight end, at about 8 games into the season, his crank gets tired. So let him not practice on Wednesdays. So the analytics department would go to Zimmer and say, this is what the analytics are showing us. And Zimmer would basically say, we got to practice. You know what I mean? Ben, tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, but when it comes to the analytics, they literally run the numbers on everything like that. Like the players, not just whether their 40 time is fast and if, you know, but everything about their entire career goes into those analytics and they look at it and say, by week 12, this wide receiver, his production starts to go down. So we need to start practicing him less in week 11. And Zimmer wouldn't listen. Ben, do you hear what I'm saying? And do you think that sounds
right? I hear what you're saying. I don't know if that's true or not.
All right.
But if it sounds like this podcast or this person did their own internal research, it sounds like maybe that's accurate. I could see that taking place.
Right.
I mean, we all see what Zim is with his personality. And if you came to him and said, hey, I don't think that Corey Cove should practice today because
that sounds great.
The numbers tell us that he needs to rest, he would say, go pound sand. We need all of our guys practicing to get ready for this game. I think it's really hard for anybody to take some of those metrics and numbers and tell somebody that's been doing it for a long time that you got to tell them how to do their job. I think it's a really difficult spot to be in, especially when maybe, you obviously don't believe in some of those numbers or what those numbers mean.
Yeah.
Now, I do think that there's some merit to some of these metrics that all these guys from a college perspective, most of these bigger colleges are one of these catapult systems. That are tracking devices placed on the players for practice and for games. Now, that is becoming a huge analytical tool that you can see how fast they run, how far they run, the acceleration, the deceleration. Like, they're getting very, very smart with this technology. So then you could take even just that and aggregate it into a big database and say, well, the last season – they really started to drop off performance-wise. And if we compare this player to these other players in similar positions, this player's running more in practice, is giving more effort in practice. And you could say, look, man, we got to take care of you late in the season because your body's just starting to break down. Maybe not break down from injury, and it may be subconscious, but the numbers would suggest that because you play at such a, you redline it for so long and you play with full gas, that you're breaking down at the end of the season.
Right.
Now, you could take that information to the coach and say, hey, man, you got to back off his reps by, 20, 30% during the week. If you can get that coach to buy into that, yeah, maybe that player can give you an extra couple of snaps at a different, and you add up all of those small wins, maybe that means more wins. I don't know. I mean, I think everything is so very new with that stuff that it's going to take certain coaches to wrap their heads around it and formulate practice plans and game plans around some of those numbers. And that's just one piece of the numbers, So there's a lot. That's why there's a team of analytics and research and development.
And Ben, what you just said spurred my memory. So it was Gessling, Ben Gessling, mm-hmm. and on the podcast he does for the Star Tribune. I forget who he does it with. And the reason it spurred my memory is because the guy from the movie Moneyball that Jonah Hill plays, okay, mm-hmm. that character, the real life person, is on the Cleveland Browns staff now. And so Kwesi Dafa-Mensah worked for him in what is well known to be the best or at least the most used analytics staff in the NFL. And that's one of the things they talk about is when Stefanski got interviewed for that job, one of the questions was, are you willing to listen to us?
That's honestly one of the only questions you should be asking, because what Ben just described and what you're saying as well, it sounds like in Cleveland, is you remember the Rodgers situation a couple years ago, right, where they could have either kicked the field goal or let Rodgers try to get the seven. And
the NFC Championship game last year,
the true numbers said it was something like a 3% better chance to kick the field goal. So LaFleur went with it, right? This is analytics and game theory are not a vacuum, right? No one expects a Vikings analytics department to go down to Mike Zimmer and say, this is exactly what we see with this injury. Here's the numbers. You don't have a choice. It's a coach that has to understand analytics is just an abundance of information. How you process it is different. For example, you could argue if LaFleur had said, look, I understand it's a 3% better chance over the course of eternity if we kick the field goal first, but I got Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to piss him off. I would rather lose by giving that 3% up.
Right.
It's in baseball, right? The batting percentage of hitters when they see a pitcher the second time through, the third time through, right? Everybody knows that the more they see the pitchers, the higher up the batting averages go. But at some point, right? And Tom Kelly in 1991 could have said, I know what the numbers are. I'm not taking Jack Morris out of the game, right? It's like Han Solo. At the end of the day, when Han Solo says, never tell me the odds, that's just the wrong way. It sounds like he's Zimmer.
Yeah, right.
Zimmer is like, never tell me the odds. All the rest of us are just saying, all you need as a coach is an open mind and an open ear. And if an analytics guy, whether it's in-game with game theory or, to Chris's point, freaking rehab of a player's injury, what's wrong with having an abundance of information? Right. Then it's up to a great coach to process it, to say, I don't care about that. He's practicing. Or, man, that does sound like a significant difference. I would much rather go that. You have to have a coach that processes information correctly. The never tell me the odds guys are just stupid. Old guard that needs to go.
We need to be on the same page, but you need to make the decision kind of a thing.
But as a coach, why wouldn't you want all available info?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Give me everything you got and let me process it.
We can't do all this work and then you go, nah, I'm not doing it.
Because
that.
Back to baseball, Ben, if it was just, well, the numbers say I got to take you out after 72 pitches, then we don't need managers. You could truly have a robot manage the game. What managers, or in this case, NFL coaches should be, is if it's a 50-50 situation, your gut has to outplay the numbers. It's which way should you lean based on your experience, your gut instinct, because the numbers are saying this is close. What do you want to do?
Well, and
it's a numbers game.
Exactly, Christopher.
Yeah, you're right.
I think that's the biggest question that we all have is I'm not adverse to what Kwesi says. He hates, the thing that you know, Courtney Cronin pushed out and some other people pushed out, you know, the comments and the statements from John Lynch, who was with in San Francisco. Kwesi hates the word analytics. He hates being associated with analytics.
Really?
Yes. He doesn't like the fact that he's looked at as an analytical, a quote-unquote analytical guy.
A nerd.
He's a research guy.
Right, right, yeah, okay, right.
He wants to be more of a research guy. And so where that separation is, I don't know. But I think that everybody's got to just understand that they're not becoming robots. They're not going to look at this organization and be like, we are just going to be all about the data and the numbers, and we are going to make sterile decisions based on what the spreadsheet spits out. That's not part of it. I think, Corey, you're 100% correct. It's just inviting, if there's a formulation to making decisions, whether it's personnel on free agents, whether it's personnel on college kids, whether it's in-game decisions, there's a formula to that. Now, gut and feel and experience are all part of it. But all they're saying is, we want to add in some of the analytics. We want to add in historical perspective and historical analysis. And we have a team of people that's going to break down these numbers and these situations. And we're going to add that into the decision-making formula. Now it's up to the coach to say, I see that. I recognize that. I'm going to make this decision based on this formulation. And the numbers and the analytics and the research are going to be part of it. It's not just going to be, oh, well, you know, just because the old Al Davis, well, he ran fast the combine and he's got this height, weight, this whatever. He's an Oakland Raider. He was actually more in that mold of, that's what the numbers tell me. The numbers tell me that this guy's a good football player. And it's funny that we're saying, hey, analytics is so new. No, there's a lot of owners and GMs that only saw the numbers and maybe missed out on some of the other parts of the formula. I think they're just saying, let's find a balance of kind of this new edge technology that we have. We can actually track these players and their performance in real time. And real numbers. And what does that tell us? It's still an ever-evolving thing as the technology gets better. But why not incorporate that in your decision-making? And then you still have to leave it up to your coach and at the time to make the sound decision. But this is not going to be a geek-driven organization at this point.
Can I take a left turn real quick?
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about this while Tommy's still here. On the Unrestricted podcast, featuring a guy named Ben Lieber. And a guy
Lewis
named
Lieber. That's the way to get more clicks.
Yeah, change that.
Way, it's way harder if you say Lewis.
You guys listen to the Double L podcast?
Same.
Oh, Zach.
Thanks,
Zach. Just turn your mic off.
With a guy named Adam Thielen. Something he said in passing that really stuck out to me. And Tommy, think about this guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a coach that let the players just lay around on the field during practice? Because Adam Thielen said during the Unrestricted podcast that in his first year in the league, when Leslie Frazier was the coach, the players ran the team. And sometimes in practice, he'd go out on the practice field and the players would just be laying around on the field.
Like having a picnic.
Am I right? Didn't he say that?
He said that.
He said that.
Oh, wow.
He said that.
I was surprised by that.
I was shocked by that, Ben.
Really?
Yeah.
Just lounging in the grass.
Oh, that's so bad.
Overcorrection, yeah. Ben. Was enormous, right? Because you go from that to Zimmer, who won't let the players have a basketball court. Right? Wow. I was astounded by that entire part of the interview, Ben. It was really well done.
He wouldn't let the guys turn the TVs on.
Oh, that's right. They had these giant TVs in the locker room, and they've never been on. Thielen said he's never seen the televisions on.
Give them to me.
I'll take it. Yeah.
Zimmer doesn't want him thinking about anything but football. Ben, your point about the players leave as soon as practice is over, so there's none of that hangout time you guys used to have, was brilliant. Of course you want guys who enjoy being at work. And if your TV's not even on because you're not allowed to watch TV because you got to be thinking about football all the time, you'd run out of there.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Tommy, the way that colleges are going, all of these new facilities have, like, player lounges.
Oh, 90-inch TVs.
Huge TVs.
So, movie theaters. Yeah,
so everything. The locker room, not only does the locker room, this is silly, it has two fireplaces, but they have this huge wall of TVs. And then they had a little lounge area where there was, like, the gaming system. So multiple TVs, gaming systems, and stuff like that. They're trying to encourage guys to just hang out, be competitive. You know, whatever. You see other locker rooms with like ping pong tables, pool tables, foosball, whatever.
Yeah.
Zim didn't let him do anything. Yeah, I think he took if I understand, he took the game systems out.
What?
That's where, I would argue, that's where you become a team, is right in the locker room. Like, that's where you get along with guys.
Yep.
Like, that's where that's how I got to know everyone on the Ghost, was in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You're laughing. Best memories is watching, like, other games and other TV and just laughing at stuff.
Yeah, Saturday walkthroughs for them. There's no college football on in the locker room.
Nothing.
Nothing, dude.
How do you even, what do you do?
Right.
No wonder you get out of there. No wonder.
Just football, man.
Right. No wonder I always question people's leadership on the Vikings. Because
they
just,
have TV in prison.
It's just, there's nothing, they don't have anything to, like, it's just, you can tell now. Now ben, there's a reason for it.
At Winter Park, I would walk into the locker room, and you guys would be playing poker in the locker room at a table. Remember the table right there, the left-hand side right there?
Yeah.
Or whatever game it was. You guys were always hanging out and having fun and laughing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm so glad they let me do it. I came in and put in 2 Nerf hoops.
Yeah.
Right? And so in between meetings, you know, they like, pee break, give me 5-minute pee break. Mm-hmm. We'd stretch it to like 10 or 15 minutes because we're out there playing Around the World and we're playing, you know, like
the absolute best.
Playing little games. Like, we're competitive the whole time.
Yeah. Do you guys think if you had eliminated the Nerf hoops, the ping pong, the gaming systems, do you think you would have won the 2009 championship game? Was that the determining factor?
No, we wouldn't have made it to the 2009 championship. We would have made it. Yeah.
No, because you guys hated each other. And you guys actually loved each other. Like, right. Actually cared about you.
I really think there's something to it.
I never knew that. That's ben, like, I think that's ping-pong? Night and day.
You seem like a guy that would be good. Really?
No, not
Hockey, I think that's really? The biggest reason I've ever heard. I never knew anything about that.
When he set the television, Thielen said he's never seen them turned on.
That's terrible.
You know what's on it? And you'll love this. You know what's on the TV screens?
What?
Oh, careful.
The daily schedule.
Well, I mean, that gives me, it actually gives me chills.
Does it give you anxiety?
No, I just got that feeling. Like,
oh, when you get the script? I just checked the analytics and TV's kick ass. They should have been on.
Right.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. That. Look at, he literally is shrinking.
No, I know.
Over.
It really does. It ruins my day.
Wow.
Seeing the script. Oh, you guys. It's so bad. It's like, it's worse.
Wherever you look, every TV would have the daily schedule.
That's it. Oh my! It's like you're at camp the entire time.
The library
camp that sucks.
Oh
yeah.
As soon as they are released, the line of cars leaving the facility
out of there.
It's like a train.
Why wouldn't you?
Why would you stay?
Then that's the reason. There's no team.
The only bonding it sounds like that would take place. And now I'm just making this up because. Yeah. I'm putting myself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hanging out in the hot tub in the cold tub after practice.
Yeah.
Right.
Which you would kind of do anyway.
Yeah.
But
that's 10 minutes. But then when you get to the locker room, that was like a whole nother, like, atmosphere.
What if Kwesi's interview with Andrew Miller, you know, whoever else, Brzezinski, if he basically just said, I want to turn TCO into the apartment from Big?
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm going to line this thing with arcades.
Yeah, the inside practice is going to be turned into a discovery zone.
Yeah.
That's what Urban Air is turning into.
We're going to have pizza Fridays.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Clemson, they have a slide instead of walking down the stairs. You know, just fun stuff like that.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
they have a slide.
What are we talking about? Like a...
So their main staircase, they have a slide right next to it instead.
So you have the option of walking down or taking the slide.
Or going the slide.
Wait a minute. What? Like, how many stairs are we talking? How big are we talking here?
Oh, like, big stairs?
Yeah, it's a size.
How many flights of stairs?
I don't know, Cor, what bit are you going into?
Yeah, it's a huge bitch!
Anyway, Ben,
that sounds awful.
That was really interesting, Ben. And as you can see,
well said, Hawk.
That was interesting. Good job.
That's really cute.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That was
T.O., one more.
One more.
One more.
One
more, T.O. And Ben Lieber and the rest of the Power Trip Morning Show after this on the Ben.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By the way, Friday night, full Chris Hockey Band show at the Medina Entertainment.
What time will that be?
Center, ballroom, whatever. I think we go on like probably 9 or something like that.
You're performing, Hawks?
Yeah, the whole Chris Hockey Band, and it's a free show at the Medina Entertainment Center this Saturday night. So come on out, please, hang out with us.
You want to FaceTime?
I probably will. Yeah.
Good for you, Hogg.
Yeah, that's great. Congrats, Hogg.
It's been a while since I've played a show with these guys.
So you can just show up?
It's just free. Oh, come on out, man. Yeah.
Wonderful. Right on.
The Medina Ballroom Whales.
What are you giving away, Zacho? You said you wanted to give
something
away.
So I got 2 quick things here. Grab your phone. Your computer, I guess. KFAN.com. The national cash contest. Trying to get put a grain in your hand. The keyword this hour, it's
Hello.
Win.
Oh.
Win.
Hello. Oh.
If you pick your phone up,
hello?
And you call 651-989-5326 or 1-800-320-5326, and if Max answers the phone call, you'll win a pair of tickets to go to Prior Lake Rotary's Lakefront Music Fest happening July 8th and 9th. More information at lakefrontmusicfest.com.
How long are you going to talk?
Can I say an apology quick?
Of course.
Tony Hill, by my friend, that I said was 5'4". He's been texting me nonstop. He goes, I'm 5'8".
See, you're taller than me. Yeah. I told you he was bigger than me.
I'm sorry.
That's a huge bitch. Tom.
Might be 5'9", even.
Is
that the one Zacho likes?
That's the one Zach's into.
Charles Barkley forever listed himself as 6'6", but people say he's closer to 6'4", right? But he's more intimidating. Sure. 6'6" in the NBA. No one cares more about their height than short people.
There's no
right?
doubt about it.
5'4"! Yeah. I'm 5'8". Well,
how tall are you, Hawk?
I am 5'6½", and don't forget the half.
Exactly. You got a half. The three quarters of that half.
5'4", what are you, 300 pounds?
That's a huge bitch!
You delete that phone number.
Yeah, I go, who are you?
What year was this text exchange?
Wow.
From this morning?
I didn't know I had the phone number of a bully.
Yeah.
Delete that number.
Anyway. Sorry, Johnny.
Yeah,
Can I tell you guys quickly about a documentary I saw? I'll do it quick.
Was it the same one you told us about yesterday?
No, it's a different one.
Okay.
You care?
Yes, I do care.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
Yeah. Okay, here we go. And here with his review of a documentary is the fans Paul meets Os Lambert.
Well, let's get this out of the way. Yeah. A+ Hawk would love it. Mm-hmm. It's called The Puppet Master. It's about a con man, and it's the most... not frightened, is like shook I've been since watching the Richard Ramirez documentary. What this human being does to all these individuals is terrifying. It's the weirdest documentary I've ever seen. It's called The Puppet Master. It's about a con man who ruins people's lives.
What's it about?
A con man.
Okay.
What streaming service is it on?
Shut up. It's great, though.
Is it Netflix?
Netflix. Go see it. Yeah. It's very terrifying.
Am I the only one that post Meat Sauce Robot, every time he does a documentary breakdown, I'm waiting for it to derail? Because doesn't it feel like it's going to? That was fine. You did a fine job. I'm just waiting for the A+.
I got that out of the way right away, though.
Right.
Just see it. It's traumatized. It'll like...
I'm going to watch it.
You'll be like, Jesus.
But what is it about? I mean, I know it's about a con man, but what does it mean?
It's about a guy that pretends he's in the MI5. Which is like a...
Mission Impossible 5?
No, yeah. Like a secret service, and he cons all these people into, like, telling them, like, the IRA is following them. He kidnaps this woman for 10 years and convinces her... He gets, like, people's... what's it called when somebody dies? Inheritance out of people. He swindled people for, like, £5 million or whatever. It's an incredible story, and he's working, like...
This is all a true story,
and he's working like 8 different women all over the world all at the same time. Yeah, and this one, the current woman, they don't know where she is. She's living with this guy, and the family opens a documentary, and it's heartbreaking and traumatizing all at the same time.
Wow.
It's the most traumatizing thing you'll see since the Richard Ramirez bit. You'll finish it, and you'll go, I don't feel well. I have to watch something else.
I already smelt the refrigerator this morning. I don't need
it. It's worse than that.
Really?
Watch it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
All right.
Hawk would love it. And he'd try.
Give it a letter grade?
A+. Yeah.
It's good.
I know Abbott hates when we talk TV, because I don't know if Abbott owns a TV.
No, he's like Zimmer. Mike Zimmer. Yeah, he wants all the TVs off 24 hours a day.
Or you got to go outside. Yeah, everybody goes outside.
Yeah,
doesn't he coach the Golden Gopher football team?
Ask Mr. Take over there.
I believe Zach just said, ask Mr. Take.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that mean? It's another inside joke.
Another inside joke, yeah.
Am I Mr. Take?
No. Remember? That's
Tommy Take.
There.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
What am I? Somebody.
Wait, is this Tommy's fun takes. News?
Gotcha.
Are we doing funny news?
We learned in the last couple days that
everybody in the building listens
to every second of every radio station in the building. There's about 19 stations in this building.
A lot of them are big KQ
fans. So apparently this bit.
Now it's time for headlines.
Some people down the hall think it's called funny news.
What? Oh, they really
it
don't
gets
listen.
Better. It gets
and,
better.
And your name.
Yeah. Your name.
Is Tommy Take.
Oh, they actually thought my name was.
Not they. One person.
So,
well, it was an easy mistake to make.
Yeah, your Tommy take.
Yeah, your Tommy take, man.
That's fair.
Double T.
And you know, we haven't done Tommy's takes in about a year. I don't think that's your last name, unless this is one of those Olsen's too boring of a last name, so you spice it up to get more numbers. Tommy nice. Takes, we can call you Double T like Trent Tucker. I don't know.
Yeah, tea time would be pretty sick.
Tea time would be fine.
Tea time.
Tea time.
All right, here we go. Time. It's time for funny news.
Now it's time for
funny news.
Funny news. Zach, will you make that?
Hi, Rosie.
Tell Rosie he's going to have to wait on funny news.
It was Rosie. No, Rosie.
Tommy, can you show him where that is? I don't know where that is. He watched Point Break for the first time last night.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
It's good.
It is good.
Really good. And he's Iowa State football player. Stud. And his knee.
Vaca Dios.
I don't even know what he says.
What?
Vaca Dios.
Yeah.
Vaca Dios.
But think about this. This is 1991 that movie came out, right? Mm-hmm. Who was the best quarterback on the planet in 1991?
Charlie Ward.
No.
I have no idea.
Johnny Utah.
No.
We don't know.
No, in real football.
I know. We don't know.
Joe Montana.
Montana.
Oh,
yeah.
So got they named it.
Johnny Utah.
Genius.
I mean, for God's sakes.
Well, why do you connect the dots there?
But I'm just saying, like, we got to have him be a quarterback. What should his name be?
Let's see. The best player right now is Joe Montana. Let's call him John Utah.
And then somehow that slipped through the cracks and it made the movie.
I've been to every city in Mexico. Came across an unclaimed piece of meat in Baja. Turned out to be Rosie.
Oh, Rosie.
I'm sorry you're an unclaimed piece of meat.
Turned out to be Rosie.
That was the actual clip they ran during the Academy Awards.
Yep.
Wait, it won an Academy Award?
Oh, Keanu
Reeves. No, Rosie.
Yeah, no, Rosie.
No, easy, Rose.
That's Rosie at the strip club in Vegas. No,
love you,
Rosie.
Tomers.
Love you.
Is it time? Love you guys.
Yeah,
see you, Tommy Take.
I'll see you.
See you
next
time.
Bye, Tommy. Love you guys.
Tom.
Are you listening on the way home?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
We're going to do funny news in about 40 minutes.
Yeah.
But Vikings news is next with Marky Mark Rosen, Ben Lieber, and the rest of the Power Trip Morning Show. After this on the fans,
let's get right to it.
It's time for Vikings news on the Power Trip, presented by
Redco, your truck accessories pro.
Papa.
We got our first guy, and his name is...
Hi, I'm Kwesi Daffamensa. I'm so excited to be the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings. Just think of all the hard work, all the people that, you know, got you to this point, and it's a little overwhelming at times, but, you know, I look at my phone, which is it's a little intense right now, but you think about all those things and all the well wishes and all the positivity, and it's just really just, it's humbling, and it just takes you to a place of just profound gratitude. Can't tell you how much I'm appreciative of this opportunity. I'm ready to get to work, and I'm excited to be a Viking. Skol.
You know, Rosie, sometimes it's hard for a boss to be younger than his employees, mm-hmm. right? Because it's just a little awkward maybe to be, I don't know, just not as well versed or experienced in whatever world they're running. Kwesi's 40.
Right.
This is the perfect age to hire a kid that's in his 10, 12, 14 age range.
Here, like, we go.
This is how we get a middle school or high school age coach. Have a 40-year-old GM. I freaking love it.
I think you have someone in mind, don't you?
Yeah, Wormser from Revenge of the Nerds.
That's what I thought.
Isn't he like 80?
Yeah, I don't know. The point is it's going to be a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Nobody has any freaking clue if it's going to work.
Oh, come on. Some people
Right. Some people think they do. But everybody's raving about him, right?
Yep.
You mentioned John Lynch earlier, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen one person that knows him say, first of all, no
red
one's
flag,
gonna
red flag.
Right, no
one's going to say anything anyway.
Right. Horrible hire.
Right.
But everything they're saying is what everybody, like, that I've been begging for the last two or three years. Yeah, let's get a little more progressive with the way we're thinking. Whether it works or not is
sure
yet to be seen. We have zero idea if this guy's going to be successful.
Well,
I love the gamble, though.
I think back to all the general managers I've covered with this football team, and I just have this visual. I can close my eyes and walking into Winter Park and seeing Mike Lynn. The slick one, the smug one, Michael Lynn sitting on his desk, putting his feet up on his desk, puffing on a heater, kicking back with his arms over his head, and just, you know, literally walking into his office. Once you got past, you said, hey, I'm going to go see Mike, I'm going to go see Bud, I'm going to go see someone, John Michaels.
Whatever. No security?
No security. No, you say hello to the receptionist, you just start walking back, and Mike would just start rambling and talking about how cheaply he got Joey Browner to sign his first contract, and I mean, it's come a long way since then.
And the whole...
How old was he at the time?
I don't...
Ballpark age. Like 30s, though? 40s? 50s?
He was pretty young. He really was. Yeah, I don't think Mike was 50. No way. He was a different guy. And, of course, he was infamously known for making the Herschel Walker trade.
That worked well.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that the whole landscape of the NFL, and Ben spoke to this about, you know, just... You know, we see the analytics and backgrounds like... he has... And more in baseball with the Twins and obviously what I think Timberwolves are doing off the court as well. And that's kind of this big sea change. But I think it's still, you know, it comes down to obviously the coach you hire and Bud, all the other coaches. One thing that hasn't changed, you'll win with people. You'll win with talent. Bud Grant used to say, I don't want a bunch of choir boys. I want guys who know how to win football games. And that in itself is going to be the test is that, you know, you can move parts around all you want and have the analytics. And they are very important now, much more important now than they used to be because they didn't have free agency before. They didn't have the opportunity. Teams didn't have the opportunity. Players didn't to really move from team to team. There wasn't anyone such as a salary capologist like Rob Brzezinski. Those people didn't exist. You just had basically the same guys coming back and you make a trade and that was it. So...
Ben nailed it 30 minutes ago.
I wish I would have heard it.
The people that are anti-analytics, I think, are missing the point. This isn't about taking the human element out of it. It's just additional information. And it's also all of us as fans and as football employees understanding that the game's going to change and that the way that it's worked forever is not necessarily the right way. For example, and this is a little bit of a left turn, but stay with me. 538, which, by the way, has maybe the best two-point conversion chart on the internet. It can tell you exactly when you're supposed to go for two and when you're not supposed to go for two. But a week or two ago, they released this other study about the NFL, and they're saying that their studies have shown that one of the biggest disasters from a game theory's perspective is wasting a timeout to avoid a delay a game. That they're saying in the long run, that is, it's you're better, almost always, you're better off taking the 5-yard penalty.
Fascinating.
But forever, coaches panic and like, oh, we can't take this 5-yard penalty. We just can't do it. But they're saying it's kind of the opposite, that almost always, you're better off banking that for the end of the half or the end of the game. Point is that's all we're asking. We're just saying, let's take a look at some of these things and see if we're doing it wrong. Well, these younger coaches, it sounds like, according to the story that Ben and Hawk were talking about with Mike Zimmer, just seem a little more open to going, all right, maybe I will take more delay of games because that makes sense to me. Those numbers add up. I'm going to change the way I treat delay of games instead of wasting first quarter timeouts. Yeah. It's not worth it.
And I think we're seeing more and more of it. Ben, you're in Green Bay. I mean, when it comes down to it, when you're watching the games as we watched last weekend, just scintillating football, all four of them in different ways, you're not thinking about who the GM is and who's pushing what buttons and how they got to that point. All you're thinking about is how they're executing the game plan at that particular time. Because the players, and ultimately, are the ones who decide the game, obviously. But it's interesting to see how the background, it's sustainable. How is this franchise now going to be more sustainable in terms of being competitive? I don't mean just in the division, especially if Rodgers doesn't come back to Green Bay. Ben, how does that open things up potentially in this division?
It makes us the front runner for sure.
Really? You feel well? It probably has to be.
I think so.
Okay.
I think everybody likes what Detroit's doing. I think there's a. If you looked at the trends for Detroit, I think they're going upwards. I think it's kind of flat right now for Chicago. You don't really
prove it otherwise. Justin Fields.
You don't know what's gonna.
You don't have a first round pick this year.
Yeah. I just don't see as much optimism with that franchise. You look at our offensive makeup, you look at the talent that we have on paper, they just need a different voice. They just need to come together and just, again, we go back to last year, they win a couple different football games in close situations, whether that's players or coaches making decisions. We're way closer to being on top of the division than any other team if Rodgers is out.
Hey, by the way, people you've talked to, do you have any sense that Poles had the option between the Vikings and the Bears and chose the Bears, or did they get their guy and we got our guy?
My belief that they got their guy, we got our guy.
Okay.
You know, Kwesi, it sounds like to me, was the first choice for a second interview, and Poles was second. And I think because of that, because of the way the schedule worked out, where the Vikings wanted to get Kwesi in first, then Poles saw an opening. Well, then on that same day, then I'll go to Chicago.
Got it.
You know, so I think that, I know there's a lot of people out there on social media saying, like, you know, we're getting their second option. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they got their guy and we got our guy.
So when people were getting excited about Ryan Poles, even though we have no idea, again, how much input he had with the drafting of Mahomes or the revamping of the offensive line, that's why you interview him. But that's what got a lot of Vikings fans excited about him, even though we hadn't heard of him 2 weeks ago. But it's, all right, quarterback and offensive line always seems to be the Vikings' problem. He definitely had success in Kansas City. How do we get that here? Do we have any idea what Kwesi's like specialty is? Obviously, again, we mentioned he doesn't like the word analytics, but what is his background in terms of scouting, drafting? What do we think he is supposed to be good at outside of, again, a breath of fresh air?
I think the way everything that I read and hear is collaboration, where, you know, let's just take a guy like Ryan Poles. Let's say that he is an offensive line whisperer, you know, kind of like Mike Zimmer was this cornerback whisperer, and he just had an innate feel for it that maybe you couldn't put on paper and maybe you couldn't even really explain. It's just like, hey, I just understand it. My eyes see it differently. Now with Poles, let's just say the scenario is you're looking at, you know, two or three offensive linemen for your first round pick, and you really got a hit on this pick, and you have, you know, your handful of scouts that have scouted all of these guys, put all these hours and hours of reports and interviews and all this stuff out there, and they say, hey, we actually think player number two is the guy we should take. And Poles is like, look, I know that you guys say that, but I just have a feel about number one. We're going to go with number one. Now, I think that happens all the time, but how much does that delegitimize the guys that you hire to be scouts and to go out there and do their jobs? And if you do that enough, you sort of minimize and diminish their importance in the decision-making. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Kwesi is taking the approach of, hey, I don't know. I'm learning this thing. This is why he worked his way through the 49ers organization from research and development into the scouting and personnel part. He's like, look, I want to see what everybody else is doing, then use my brain and my analytics and then the way I organize things to make a decision. So I'm going to take everybody's inputs, filter it through my brain, then make a decision.
I know we got to go pretty quickly here. His news conference is at 9 a.m., right, this morning?
Yeah, 9 a.m., yeah.
How close do you think Kwesi, when it comes to hiring a head coach, and the Vikings have done their due diligence best they can, now he comes in and goes, well, I know these guys. How much more further is this going to go? Because now the competition's heating up, right? Because Denver hired Hackett today. Mm-hmm. How long do you think a process would that take, given his input and how quickly he wants to move on this?
Let's see who wins and loses on Sunday.
Oh, that's a big part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's
really
a big part of it.
I think the next head coach is coming from this weekend's games?
I would put it at a high percentage that the next Vikings head coach is probably on a roster on a team that's playing this Sunday.
Yeah, it's a PA said yesterday as well. Yep. So I guess that narrows the list pretty greatly.
Right. It does.
I would put, personally, because of, you know, the brief stint together with Kevin O'Connell and Kirk Cousins in Washington and what the Rams have done, I think that they trend towards offense as far as the next head coach. I think a guy like Kevin O'Connell probably look good in purple if that's the direction they want to go.
No, they can hire him.
Wow.
They can make that hire even if the Rams win. Is that right? They don't have to wait to the Super Bowl, or do they? If the Rams win on this weekend.
No, I think they can, because when the Patriots came back 28-3, their offensive coordinator, who's now the 49ers head coach, I can't think of his name
Shanahan
was the 49ers head coach already, because all the fans were like, well, he doesn't care about this game. That's why they came back.
Interesting.
Because Quinn was the head coach of the team.
Correct.
This would be a disaster. Kevin O'Connell is 36.
Oh, boy.
Too close in age.
Yeah. Does Kevin O'Connell have a kid?
Oh, probably.
Can we hire that kid? By the way, I didn't know this. Kevin, I'd never heard the name. He was a San Diego State quarterback, third round pick in 08.
Yeah. No kidding.
Apparently, he could play back in the day a little bit. Never
36,
heard of him.
He could. He's 8 years younger than Brady. He can still sling it.
Man, isn't that crazy?
I think he's the
player coach.
Right?
Tall drink of water. So I think he's like 6'4", 6'5",
really?
Or something. Yeah.
I already like him.
According to Wikipedia, he is 6'5", 220.
Yes. That's a huge bitch.
Wow.
Wow, Rosie, that's me. Why did you hit that button?
Interesting. Kevin O'Connell, apparently a name to watch.
Right.
Fan 5 is next. Rosie is here. Lieber is here. We'll play a much better title later. Funny news in about 20 minutes.